WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Ivan Raiklin Report with retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Green Beret, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan served 25 years in the Department of Defense, Intel, and Special Operations communities as an enlisted officer, civilian contractor on active duty, reserves, and National Guard across 5 states. Most recently, he was an instructor at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center, teaching the U.S. intelligence intel community and international partners about intelligence analysis, national security, and multinational operations. He is currently a constitutional attorney. And now, here is your host, Ivan Raiklin.
Well, 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 folks, day 4 of the Daily Show, Monday through Friday, the Raiklin Report. Again, I always got to do the hat tip to Brandon House. He basically forced me into this, where now I'm creating content every day, essentially the things that I'm working on. And hopefully it's going to motivate others to participate in retaking ground within our country to push back and repel the Chinese Communist Party and then essentially, you know, retake our country, the executive branch, the entire federal government, take over the Republican Party so it's more patriotic, and then ease our way into ensuring that the Democrat Party, again, hopefully we have a multi-party system that actually believes in core constitutional values in order to restore the republic. So with that said, Ivan Raiklin here. You can see there, if you want to look at some of my work that I'm doing, it's at Substack, ivanraiklin.substack.com. That feeds the beast, and that gives me the ability to travel throughout the country and provide that body check to the deep state, whether it be the D.C. deep state and going up to the Capitol, whether it be down to, as I was yesterday, down in Austin, Texas, making sure that we can get the message out to the masses out there. Because at this point, you know, Alex Jones is in my opinion, mainstream patriot truth media. And I wanted to make sure that I like to kind of, I hate this cliche phrase, but the way I think you, the best to motivate others is to do more work than the people that you're trying to motivate to help you out in whatever cause you're trying to build. And I think people call that leading by example, whatever. I don't know. I don't care really what you call it, other than I'm just trying to show what I think is important. And if you agree with what I'm doing, then hopefully that also motivates you into action. And so the reason why I went down to Texas in person, I could have easily done it remotely, the show on InfoWars with Alex Jones, and then later on with Owen Schroer. But with Alex Jones and both of those guys, really, I went down into studio to showcase the importance of supporting those that are really at the front of the fight to push and provide the necessary truthful content out there, and to show people not to be afraid to associate yourself with those that are ostracized and essentially labeled as all these negative and pejorative words for exposing the corruption at the highest levels of all of our institutions. And obviously, Alex Jones has been doing that for decades. Didn't really know who he was up until I'd say, he's been doing this for over 20 years, but his reporting, it really only came on my radar maybe in 2017, 2018. You know, I thought this guy's entertaining, you know, shock jock sort of reporting. I mean, at the end of the day, in order to get people to view what you're providing, it has to be not only entertaining, but it's also beneficial to be informative. And I think what's lost on many is that because he is passionate about a lot of the subjects that he conveys, it's used against him in a way that's totally uncalled for, inappropriate. And so as I started to do, you know, I'm an analytic guy, you know, that kind of pushed me away because let's just face it, I was a normie in terms of what was being pushed for throughout the world in the information landscape. And it wasn't really until probably 2018, 19, and maybe even into later of 2019 and 2020, where I really started to respect the content that he was putting out there. I get it. Some of the stuff, you know, his initial assessments may not be 100% accurate, but looking through all of his content, I mean, he's been, the more the years go by, he's been closer to 100% accurate on a lot of things, probably over 90%. And so when you have that level of accuracy and you compare it to the mainstream media that people think is the mainstream media, like Oh, your faux news is your news vaxes, your Washington Compost, your New York Slimes. Guess what? Alex Jones has gotten it right on so many more occasions in terms of getting the truthful information out there accurately than all of the rest of them combined. It's not even close. So I wanted to go down there physically in person to show my support for InfoWars, my support for Alex Jones, you know, whatever that can bring, because I did get some comments on my Telegram, people that never even heard of InfoWars. And while I'm surprised that that is the case, it only warms the heart to know that I was able to, through my, you know, network of folks that consume and keep an eye on the content that I provide, I'm only happy to bring more attention to those that are in the fight doing the right thing. And definitely Alex Jones has been in the fight for a very long time. You can see there, definitely fighting. I mean, a lot of stress. Literally the entire global cabal has gone after him. They sued him for what? I mean, it's just ridiculous numbers. They sued him for making a comment that he apologized on numerous occasions when he found out it wasn't accurate. And yet they still went after him to try to delete him off the face of the world. And it's like they're suing him for $1 trillion. I mean, are you serious? His business, it's a small company out down there. He has several employees, but his reach and his influence is so massive that they had to go after him. So that was why I was down there. And then also I had an opportunity to jump on with Owen Schroyer, another fighter in the truth movement and the cause. And Owen Schroyer has been persecuted. He told me a story during one of the breaks when I was on his show, War Room. And if you want to put that picture up of me and Owen, bottom line is he's a younger guy, right? And he has the same core values and ethos of total fearlessness. If you recall, I think it was a couple of years ago when Congress was open. It was, I believe, after the whole Kavanaugh protest where there was an actual physical assault and a precursor to insurrectionist activity by the left when they tried to stop a proceeding from occurring, when they tried to block the nomination and a confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. Well, on the... Yeah, at the end of that, or later on, I think maybe in that same month, Owen Schroyer went down to the Capitol and did what's called a silent protest. He didn't say a word. He basically had tape over his mouth, and it was to showcase the amount of censorship that was occurring. And now we're finding it out. It was at the behest of the FBI, at the behest of, you know, Chris Wray. Total scumbag, First and Fourth Amendment violator, probably on behalf of the global cabal, which we apparently see is taking place since he's an attendee at the WF, World Economic Forum, probably in coordination with Mikey Pence and the Bushes and the Cheneys. So anyway, he told me during the break, he being Owen Schroyer, that the Capitol Police came up to him and said, hey, we were told to arrest you. So if you're going to be in here, we're going to have to arrest you. And it begs the question, who told the Capitol Police that they were going to arrest Owen? No matter what he did or didn't do, even if it was lawful, First Amendment, they just didn't want him there because he was such a threat. It's because people gravitate towards fearless First Amendment truth seekers and provider, and definitely Owen Schroyer. And the whole InfoWars folks are out there, and I can only support folks like that. And so he withstood that. He was arrested. They booked him, and then I think they released him later that day. But the end of it was essentially they're just trying to silence folks that are exposing them. They're going to do it digitally, then they're going to transition and do it physically. I've experienced that myself, and when they do that to me, because like there's no one out there in the world that knows better than I do on whether or not I committed any transgression, right? Let's just face reality. You know, every single one of you knows what is truth and not true as it relates to yourself. So when you also break out of the mold of having absolutely no fear, that's when you can just say, you know what? I have total freedom. I know that I have not done anything wrong. And so when people attack me and say that I've done something wrong or there's a transgression or attack me, that's like the oxygen to then push and expose those coming after me. So if no one really went after me, I wouldn't be so aggressive at exposing them. But once they escalated on me, that's when I continue to escalate on them. And it's a game of chicken. And when I play, there's two options. I either win or I don't lose. Okay. So it doesn't look good for the opposition, because in both of those circumstances, they lose, right? Or they're going to be jammed up so much that I'm going to continue to expose them, forcing mistakes. And and usually when you're the David going up against the Goliath, as the David doing their hardest to expose the truth, even if I do make mistakes, right? I think the intentions are clear. So what I'm referring to is when I travel for 16 months now, since August of 2021, I've been on the secondary screening list. Now, I'm still not quite sure who placed me on that secondary screening list. A couple of pieces of evidence come to mind on who I think it could be, but the timing of it should be pretty telling. So let me step back to August of 2021. For the audience here that are listening to Lindell TV and know Mike Lindell, that's when we had the Cyber Symposium in August of 2021, which was the venue to expose essentially all the evidence to that point of not only foreign interference, the digital component, but also of a lot of legislators convened to kind of see how the 2020 election was absolutely illegally certified, right? That was a really pivotal moment, because they had bought time, they being the enemy of the people, had bought time through censorship. But Mike Lindell was really pushing back, you know, creating the platform such as Frank's Speech and the whole network. And the day after that cyber symposium, and I attended in my, I was a contractor at the time. I took, it's called PTO from my position there, paid time off. So I was there in my personal capacity, just advocating for a free and fair election, also helping coordinate and inform folks of the constitutional principles that were violated in that 2020 election amongst the different folks that attended. So needless to say, the following day, the Department of Homeland Security passed and published a bulletin that listed three categories of people that was going to then be the predicate to get people like myself and others that were doing what they claimed was unlawful to be placed on this secondary screening harass list. Those three categories of bad actors, if you will, to the deep state were, number one, if you did not like to wear a face toilet, meaning if you didn't like the CCP-19 forced medical rape on you, well, then you were considered a potential domestic terrorist. Let me say that again. If you refuse to be medically raped by emergency use authorized products, that's what the reality of it is and was, they termed it as, if you are against COVID measures and against the government's policies on COVID, then you're considered potentially a domestic terrorist. Let me tell you again what reality is, executive branch. If you are trying to medically rape me unlawfully, guess what? You're going to face severe consequences. That's what's going to occur. And so even though you tried to frame it and censor it in the light that's most favorable to you, you lost that debate and the discussion. Because while you were able to censor and force the FBI, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram and then big media to play your narrative, no one bought into it. And even fewer people buy into it today with the Twitter files. So that was the first category of folks that they said were potential domestic terrorists. Number two, they said that, if you were a critical thinker and you personally observed that the 2020 election was absolutely illegally conducted and certified because non-legislative actors in many states did not follow their election law, completely obliterated the legal process for conducting their elections. If you saw that and you wanted to scrutinize and create consequences for those that illegally certified the election, the precinct, county, state, and federal levels, well, guess what? You were exposing the unlawful election, and thus you were exposing the illegitimacy of the fraudulent executive branch of the government. And so for that, that same executive branch of the government had to label you as a potential domestic terrorist because you called them out on being completely lawless and illegitimate. The words that they used were, oh, if you question the legitimacy of the 2020 election, you're potentially a domestic terrorist. Guess what, executive branch DHS? You are absolutely illegitimate because you are headed up by an appointed individual. You were appointed, Mr. Mayorkas, by an illegitimate resident of the White House based solely on category number two, meaning they were elected through an unconstitutional process that I have been exposing for 2 years, and as well as Mike Lindell, right? Anyhow, that was category two. Category three, if you are a Christian, actually there's kind of two components to this third category. If you are a Christian or a person that wants to celebrate the holidays that are traditional holidays in the United States, whether it be Christmas, whether it be the New Year's, whether it be really any traditional holiday that occurs in December, doesn't have to be Christian, and also in the fall of 2021 at the time, September 11th was a unifying time. It would have been the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. Where our country at that moment on 9/11, post 9/11, was very unified. So when a people are unified and close together and trust each other as a block, they can really push back against a tyrannical, lawless federal government. So when people unite and meet in person for 9/11 events to commemorate that tragic event 21 years ago. And when families convene during Christmas and Thanksgiving, mind you, well, guess what? They interact. They can talk to each other. They can then find out whether or not they were, you know, who within the family was not only medically raped, who had massive adverse events occurring to them based on the medical rape, who had rashes and their faces destroyed and their ears destroyed from constantly wearing face toilets and just the mutilation of the face from the face toilets and the double face toilets. And then whose noses were damaged and mutilated every time that they had to conduct that PCR test. And then whose bodies were mutilated, all of their DNA completely obliterated. Who was on the receiving end of that? That's what would have happened as these conversations would have been had at the dinner table for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But no, they scared everyone away from that. And they said it was going to be a winter of death and destruction if people did not allow the government to medically rape them, okay, and mutilate them. So because critical thinkers like myself and others that were advocating, exercising their First Amendment, exposing all of these three categories as being completely false and illegitimate and violating our constitutional principles, well, and exposing the individuals that are putting us in their crosshairs, the illegitimate folks, they decided to place me on some sort of political hit list, secondary screening list. And so, while I wasn't on it on the day, on the flight back from South Dakota for the Cyber Symposium, I did receive an email, the Trusted Traveler Program. It was in August, I believe, in that time frame. I still have that. So, you know, eventually I'll be able to showcase that I can't do it right now, but maybe in a future episode, I'll show that. But bottom line is a person like myself, I just want to frame it this way, 25 years defending Constitution, supporting, serving our country with no blemishes whatsoever, just following the rule of law, maintained a clearance for a couple decades at that moment at the highest levels within our government. And at the time I was placed on that, I also had the highest level clearances. I presented at the time I was still in the reserves before I retired. I presented my military ID card when I would travel, right? I was on, TSA pre. So I was pre-screened, pre-checked because of my federal affiliation through the Army Reserves. I also, essentially, I think a founding member of CLEAR. It's that private program that does this pre-screening on behalf of the TSA to minimize and mitigate the risk that a traveler has. I had every single thing that would mitigate any risk to the traveling system on every program. Global entry, TSA pre, CLEAR. I had never had any issues whatsoever. And then what happens all of a sudden? I'm randomly selected on my next flight for secondary screening, where I get, not only are they, the government is cool with not only medically raping you amongst all these different components of the EUA products, but now they're wanting to not only violate your First Amendment and First Amendment by telling big tech to censor you, they want to violate your First Amendment by stopping you from physically to go to places to be able to exercise your First Amendment in a timely fashion. And how do they do that? By then violating your Fourth Amendment search and seizure violation. And that is done they violate you through the massive search and pat down, secondary screening, 14th Amendment violation as well, equal protection. Why am I going through this when I am the lowest threat of any known traveler, but yet they put me on the list? Interesting and intriguing, isn't it? Well, a little bird meat back in the day, I got some indications that the same DHS was looking into me for a while now. And other little birdies told me that the FBI was also looking into me. So you can see here that is it because of my exposure through interviews, through the events that I've been in, and then in my private time, essentially articulating and talking to legislators throughout the states, and then different grassroots leaders throughout the country on how they can remedy 2020, which then delegitimizes and extricates us from the Chinese Communist Party's ambassador in the White House. I guess the CCP has now been tasked by Zhidin through his handlers and surrogates over at the DHS and DOJ, and then later the Department of Defense through their medical rape program known as the Mandate. They basically all in the collective started to investigate me to try to find something on me. Why am I investigated? Well, guess what? If you can find something on me that you can label me as enemy number one, persona non grata, the worst person in the history of humanity, then I'm taken off of the battlefield and I can't expose the truth. Well, they took me off Twitter. They censored me on LinkedIn. They censored me on Facebook and Instagram. And what did I do? I said, great. I'm not going to use those platforms. I'm going to push out content on platforms that allow for free speech. Let's start with frank speech. Let's start with, Truth Social then comes out. Getter comes out before that. And Clout Hub is out there. So I just kept maintaining and increasing and escalating that pressure. So let me see here. I think, Logan, I sent you, what was that? Before you bring that up. I just kind of want to close on here before I go to the last thing and essentially the last segment of today's 30-minute broadcast on the Raiklin Report is that I wanted to share that and kind of showcase to people that if you are one of the folks out there, and I know there should be many out there, if you've lived a pristine life, right? Meaning there's nothing even with 10 investigations. I've been under 10 investigations across those three from the J6 cover-up committee, DOD, DOJ, and DHS. And I'm still under them, obviously, based on being still on the secondary screening list. FBI reached out to Fakebook to get my entire, all of my content from there. They did the same thing with LinkedIn, because how do I know? I've gotten the emails because I was a subject of an investigation, so they had to look into all my stuff, found nothing. If you know that you are completely clean and you're a patriot, I'm pleading with you, please start pushing back as hard as you are able to based on your current circumstances. And that could be something as simple as, you know, making some blog posts, articulating about the lunacy, commenting on other people's stuff, because the more people see that actual human beings agree that we are in this twilight zone and that mutilation of children is bad, because what they're going to do is they're going to create these bots that amplify through their algorithms that, oh yeah, we need to move our country and our world to promote these mutilation products. We need to promote teachers and school boards to advocate for the mutilation of kids, because not only the EUA product mutilation and rape is good, we need to continue to do that through other mechanisms by genitalia mutilation. So once you use that terminology, that is, I know it sounds negative and visceral, that's what it is. It is absolutely disgusting what they're doing. We need to match the rhetoric with reality, as opposed to, oh, we're transitioning this and that. It's like a benevolent thing. No, what you're doing is straight up raw dog medical rape and mutilation. And then when you confront those on the left that are somewhat rational still, I know it's hard to say that, but there might be some folks that are willing to listen. Once you use that terminology and demand that they rebut it, they can't rebut it. And I think that's how we win the argument and start to wake them up to see what it is for what it is. All right. So that's kind of that. That's basically, we highlighted yesterday. I'm very happy I had the opportunity to be on InfoWars to support Alex Jones and Owen Schroer on those two great shows. So if you have time, take a look at what they're doing. Definitely, they break a lot of news and provide good analysis because they know what's going on. And then the other thing is, moving forward, I want to briefly discuss what will be happening tomorrow. So I'm actually, right after we hang up here, I'm heading over to the airport to get raped once again by the TSA in Virginia as I try to make my way down to Florida. And tomorrow, if Logan, you can bring that up, I'm going to be heading to this event, and I kind of want to briefly cover this. Please keep that up there as I talk through it. So the Florida event, Florida demands new RNC leadership. For those that aren't aware, next week, next Friday, not tomorrow, but the following week on January 27th, is the election for the Republican National Committee chair race. There are three candidates running. One is the incumbent. She's trying to run for a fourth term. Her name is Ronna Romney. Yes, there is a relation to Mitt Romney. That should tell you everything. And then more importantly, the reason why she needs to be removed, and that's why my nickname right now is Ivan Remove Romney Raiklin, or hashtag Ronna has to go, is because for me personally, getting to the bottom and the truth of an illegally certified 2020 election is the number one singular issue, because everything runs downstream from that, all the illegal activities. Ronna Romney raised hundreds of millions of dollars saying that, oh yeah, the RNC is going to get to the bottom of it. Meanwhile, they did nothing. They actually worked against getting to the truth of 2020. So that speaks for itself. Anybody supporting her to become the chair of the RNC is an enemy of the people. And I hate to say that, but bottom line is the Florida GOP chair, Joe Gruters, endorsed Ronna Romney McDaniel for RNC chair. But guess what? We need to show up in force tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. in Sarasota. You can see there, 2896 Ringling Boulevard, Sarasota, in order to showcase that we do not accept his endorsement of Ronna Romney. And if he maintains that endorsement, he's going to be removed. Okay? It's just straight and simple. This is how it works. You do not support those that do not do the right thing. So who of the other two candidates that are running for that position? You have Mike Lindell, obviously, and you have Harmeet Dillon. Now, Harmeet Dhillon, great attorney. However, over the last 2 years, while she worked on some election cases and whatnot, the person that put in the most into addressing the 2020 election, hands down, full stop, not even close. And this is in no way, shape, or form meant to disparage or meant to say anything negative about Harmeet. I don't have anything negative to say about Harmeet, zero. But I do have a lot of positive things to say to support Mike Lindell, and that is because he is by far put everything on the line to get to the truth of 2020. And for that alone, he has earned my support. And I hope others will see it the same way, that he is the only person that can do that necessary body check to the entire establishment. And he's not tethered to trying to make money off of the process of being the RNC chair. We need to support Mike Lindell. And that's what I'm going to be doing down in Sarasota, articulating to the people that show up. And with that, I think, we're running out of time for today's Raiklin Report. Tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. and follow my Substack. Thanks, Logan, for producing.